Well, it is good to be back, and forgive me if at some point there's a little here and there. I did come back with a cold, still getting over that, and you never know when those coughs creep up. I hear it's going around. Anybody else got this lately? Yeah. So we're working on it. Well, as you know, we're in the midst of our series on the Lord's Prayer. So wrapping up this morning. And we began with our Father, exploring and understanding what does it mean to call God in this name of intimacy, relationship. And last week to explore that idea that we pray for God's kingdom come here, God's will be done on earth as it is already in heaven, and the challenges of that. And this morning I want to highlight one more phrase in the Lord's Prayer. The phrase that, whenever I pray it, I almost feel it catch. It's a challenging part of the prayer in so many ways. That phrase, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Don't you find that challenging? Hard to pray sometimes? I know I do. I know I struggle with it. Because it seems there is a conditional element here. Forgive as we forgive. Huh. And maybe I could sort of toss it off and say, well, you know, it sounds good in the prayer, but I'm sure Jesus doesn't mean that somehow we need to forgive for God to forgive. And yet it comes up over and over again. Right after he gives us the prayer, he has this phrase, this teaching that comes with it. And there's no slide here, so don't go there. It's all right. He says, look, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Huh. Forgive. Forgive. Forgiveness. This is challenging stuff. Challenging stuff because forgiveness is not, well, it doesn't come easy, does it? When I was in third grade, I found myself on the playground once. It was the end of recess. We were playing on the swings. Most of the kids, the bell had rung and had started to wander in, and for some reason I sort of stayed on the swing. And along came the class bully. Anybody remember those bullies? Had a few of those growing up, perhaps. Hopefully you weren't one of them. In the third grade, there was this bully. He wasn't bigger than anybody else. He just was mean. And I remember I'm swinging, and everybody else was left. And here he comes, and there's four other swings available. And he looks at me and he says, that's my swing. What? There's all these other swings. That's my swing. Get off. Well, no. There's a lot of other swings. You swing on one of those. I'm already on this one. I've got a good rhythm going. Well, as I said, he was the bully, so he wasn't going to give up with that. So he proceeded to grab me by the chains, stop me, and tell me again, get off. I said, no. So then he did that twisty thing. Do you remember this? Somebody's on a swing, and you begin to twist the chains, right? So that the chain starts wrapping up, getting closer and closer and closer, until you have no choice. You're either squeezed in by the chain and pinched, ow, or get off. And I did eventually, and then we ended up in a scuffle, and then later in the principal's office. That bully. I don't know why he did it, but I certainly didn't appreciate it. And I went weeks and months with this frustration and anger towards him. Why did he wrong me like this? The idea of forgiveness as a third grader, well, it just wasn't there. Now, somewhere along the line, we let it go. But man, it's hard to let go, isn't it? It's hard to forgive. I wonder if that's what Peter has in mind. Our scripture today, beyond our Lord's Prayer, comes later in Matthew. It's a small verse. Jesus has just been teaching about those who have sinned against us, those who have wronged us, and how to work on reconciling. And so Peter comes to him and he says, well, Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times. What? Or 70 times seven. Or you do the math. A lot more than seven. And I could just imagine Peter. See, Peter was, he was operating under this basic sort of rabbinical teaching of the day that said, you know what? You forgive three times. The Lord shall forgive three times, but on the fourth, no longer. So I'm sure Peter was beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Jesus kept talking about mercy and grace, about forgiveness. It was there in that prayer teaching so many days before. And now he's talking here about reconciliation. Well, let's see. If three's the norm, seven. Woo! That'd be big. Jesus, I got it. I think I get what you're after here. How about seven times? And Jesus brings it up even bigger. No, Peter, you still don't get it. This is so much bigger than you imagine, Peter. My kingdom, the kingdom we're praying for, the kingdom to come here on earth like it is in heaven, the kingdom is centered in forgiveness, Peter, and it's so much more than keeping track. Three or four or five times. It is to forgive and to forgive and to forgive until you've forgotten. Forgiveness is at the center of the Christian life. But it's not easy, is it? There was an article in New York Magazine a few years ago that talked about forgiveness, particularly titled 17 Things We Know About Forgiveness. Interestingly enough, forgiveness is not something that's been studied much in social science research, only in the last 20 years or so. And out of the 17 things that they discovered, most of them we probably understand, one of which I think really, really just pins it up for us, though. It turns out they even study animals and animal patterns of forgiveness, and that there are ways in which they see many primates exhibit forgiveness after conflict. The one animal in which they have never seen forgiveness take place, can you imagine? Cats. It's true. They have never seen a cat forgive. And if you have a cat, you understand this. They do seem to hold it against you all the time, don't they? No cats. No. Now, silly part of the study, I'm sure, but what I found more interesting, they discovered, well, at least in one particular study, there was this weight in which grudges bear on us. To carry a grudge, to hold on to an old slight, that burden, weighs us down. This is interesting. A place called Erasmus University asked people in this study, they asked them to write about a time when they either gave forgiveness or withheld it. And then they asked their subjects to jump as high as they could to measure their jump. What's amazing is they discovered, for those who had been thinking about a time when they'd forgiven someone, they jumped on average 11 and a half inches. And those who wrote about a time when they had held on to a grudge and had not forgiven someone, they jumped on average 8.5 inches. 3 inches difference. Now, it may not seem like much, but in sort of quantitative research, you sort of say, wow, what is that telling us? That when we hold on to our slights, when we hold on to the wrongs that have been done to us, it wears on us. It's a burden. It weighs us down. Perhaps you've experienced something like that. Perhaps you've gone for days or weeks, months, perhaps years, holding on to that wrong and felt that kind of burden, that weight. As a third grader, it didn't weigh me down much. Everybody didn't like the bully anyways. But as adults, those deep wounds never really heal until we forgive. I'm convinced the Lord's Prayer was not just a template for how to pray, but it was also a way in which Jesus was trying to help his disciples, help you and I, imagine and live into a new reality, a new world. See, he talked about it all the time. He talked about his kingdom. He'd come and the kingdom of God had begun in him. And the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was a way of asking for it and envisioning it time and time again. And at the center of it is this call to forgive. To forgive as we have been forgiven. Jimmy Carter once said, you know, forgiving is probably one of the most difficult things for any human being to do. And I think that's why it's at the center of the prayer. Because Jesus understood if his followers, if his church really began to embody forgiveness in its culture, it would change people. It would transform society. Because, of course, the norm is to hold on to the grudge and to work for what? Revenge, right? Retribution, payback. We love those stories, don't we? Every other movie out is a revenge story. It makes sense to us. It's easy. It's how wars get started. Revenge, retribution. But Jesus was bringing about a different world, and he said, no. Nothing will change if you keep living into that instinct for revenge. How much more the world will shift and alter if we work and live as people of forgiveness. And somehow, if we don't forgive, if we are people that withhold it, it has something to do with God's treatment for us. And I know this is tricky ground, because we talk about the grace of God and God's forgiveness is free and large. And yet Jesus said it. Modern translation, the end of Matthew 6, he says, look, in prayer there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. That's kind of scary, isn't it? And yet this is what Jesus shared with his disciples. He said, somehow, if you can't find it within you to forgive, that cuts us off from God. One of my favorite theologians, N.T. Wright, he put it this way, and it's helpful for me. It frames this so much better. He said, you know, forgiveness is like the air in your lungs. There's only room for you to inhale. only room to inhale the next lungful when you've just breathed out the previous one. And if you insist on withholding it, with refusing to give someone else the kiss of life they may desperately need, you won't be able to take any more in yourself. And you'll suffocate very quickly. If we are open, able, and willing to forgive others, we will also be able, open to receive God's love and forgiveness. But if we're locked up to our neighbor, God's forgiveness will be locked up to us. As I receive forgiveness, can I breathe it out and give it to those around me? And I know this is hard, and it feels counterintuitive. And that's why it's so powerful. Time and again, we can read stories of those who have been horribly wronged, parents whose children have died at the hands of others, abusers, those who have been abused. And we can read over and over again about the burden and the weight of their anger and frustration at the wrong, and yet nothing will change until they let go of it. There was a film years ago called Dead Man Walking. Anybody remember that one? It was a true story, actually, about a murderer on death row and a Catholic nun whose mission, she found it, was to go and to walk alongside those on death row, Sister Helen Prejean. In the midst of the story, we catch a glimpse into the life of the parents of a young woman this man murdered. And their anguish and pain. And you can imagine it, how hard it would be for somebody to have taken the life of your own child. And it's understandable. I could feel it. The hatred. The desire for justice. But ultimately what you see throughout the story is how that hatred is slowly withering her parents. And it's only when her father can forgive the murderer that he feels ready to live again. How do we get there? How do we do that which feels so anti-us, but is the way of God? I think it has to begin by understanding how we have been forgiven. It's there in the prayer, "Forgive us, O God." We have to pray that prayer and to know the reality. We have been forgiven first and foremost, forgiven of a debt unpayable, so large, so massive to God, we could never have taken care of that debt. And God said, it's paid in Christ on the cross. You and I have been forgiven. And it's only when we really understand the reality of our forgiveness that we might have a chance and the ability to forgive someone else. Have you heard those words lately and known them true for you? You are forgiven. Whatever wrong, whatever slight, God has forgiven you. And he asks you to forgive in kind. Ernest Hemingway wrote many stories, one of which was a short story called The Capital of the World. In it, he began with a joke of sorts from Madrid about a father and a son who had a falling out. And the father wanted to restore his relationship with the son, and so he went to Madrid and he put an ad in the paper El Liberal. It said basically, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montaña, noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Papa. And the joke goes, the next day at noon, the civil guard had to be called out because there were 800 Pacos waiting in the square for Papa, because they needed to hear, to know, all is forgiven. To where it begins, to know deeply, truly, God has said that to you and to I. All is forgiven. Can we now be people who forgive? That's the great challenge. And I know sometimes we think forgiveness is somehow letting someone off the hook or saying that it didn't matter, but it's not that. When something is wrong, it's wrong. When it's sin, it's sin. And it has consequences and pain. But to forgive means that isn't where the story ends. The story can go beyond that wrong. In a minute, I want to show you a video found online. It's a brief one. And what you see are people who begin with cardboard signs about the ways they've been wronged. And they are serious, deep, and painful. And I would invite you, as you see those signs, to imagine in your own life, what would your sign read? What would you put on it? What are the ways that you've been wronged? The ways you've been hurt and slighted? Perhaps simple, perhaps profound. Maybe recent, maybe years and decades before. To imagine, what would your sign read? And then what would it say as you flip that sign? You'll see how it goes here, but take a moment, see what you think. Gracious God, we see those signs and we know they are true. True for those who share them and true for us as well. Every one of us, O Lord, has experienced sin in all of its many forms, ways we've been wronged, and it hurts. Ways we've been slighted and abused. And Lord, we hold on to that, and it turns in us until we can release it. And so, Lord, we come this day thankful for your forgiveness, that beyond our merits, you have said all is forgiven. And Lord, we're humbled and challenged to forgive. To forgive as you have forgiven us. So, Lord, may your Spirit embolden us and empower us. Lord, we could write those signs for ourselves. Help us to write the next side, the flip side. Help us to forgive, O Lord, in these days to come, so that the world would know you are at work here, that your kingdom is indeed transforming and changing this world. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.